We're going to go to doing a single day of vacation Bible school this year. It's going to be on August the 7th. It's going to be from 10 to 2. And if you would like to help with that, there'll be a meeting in the fellowship hall after the service. So again, it's going to be August the 7th, running from 10 in the morning to 2 o'clock. And then also, too, there will be a church-wide storage and organization. We've kind of, again, with the last year and a half of not being able to get together and kind of be together, we've kind of let some of the storage areas in the church kind of get overflowing, and they need to be organized just slightly. Just be in prayer for that. And also, too, we're going to try to utilize the space we've got. There's a lot of room here, but we had to clean a few things out. We need to clean a few things out. I know that the refrigerator was cleaned out this week, and there was stuff that was a year and a half old in it. So don't get anything from the refrigerator. Just be in prayer for our service this morning, and Brother Ken will get us started here, and then hope you've got your heart prepared for worship this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's get started. We're going to sing number 379. Brethren, we have met to worship. 379.
Also this morning we'll be in the book of Mark chapter 3.
All right. Good morning. Again, want to welcome everyone, and we're excited to starting this morning. We had Sunday school back in session, and we're very fortunate and blessed to have that. Again, just be in prayer. We're going to try to begin to normalize things here as we've had a lot of change here over the last year and a half. Also something to be thinking about is we are going to start having church council meeting again here coming up just in a few weeks. So those that were participating in church council before, we're going to be having that meeting after service on Sunday evenings here. So be in prayer for that. Let's just continue to be in prayer. Like I say, there's still a lot of things. There's a lot of normal. I'm traveling. Well, I never quit traveling, those that you know me, but it's interesting. You can go to the hotels now and they're full, you know, and the restaurants are full now. So everybody's trying to get back to where we can fellowship again and spend time with each other. And so it's definitely happening, and let's just continue to be safe. And if you have any questions or anything about anything going on here at the church, we're trying to get the bulletin back together. Again, a year and a half, you lose a lot of things that you were thinking you were doing. We did on a regular basis. So if you see something, remind one of us deacons or the pastor and say, hey, we were doing this, and we need to get this back together, because it's going to be kind of a little bit of a retraining, if you will. I don't know how you feel about it, but I've forgot a lot of things over the last year and a half, right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him to bless our service here this morning, and let's just bow our heads. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning, and it's a blessing to see Sunday school back in session, Lord, here. And as we continue to plan to open up the church more and have more events, Lord, we're just blessed and thankful, Lord, that you brought us through the season of COVID. Lord, that you blessed us before this arrived with the ability to broadcast here online, Lord. And you blessed us, Lord, to be able to continue to have the Word of God taught from this pulpit, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. We know many churches have struggled with that, Lord, and not been able to open, but you've been faithful to us here at Thomas Village, Lord, and we're just thankful for that. And again, Lord, as we go out through this week, that you just give us opportunities to witness in your name, Lord. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of my sins, where I know I've done many, Lord, and I just ask you to forgive me of those. Help me, Lord, to put myself in a situation where I'm a better representative of who you are, Lord, and that you would shine in my life. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would just prepare our hearts as Brian comes this morning, Lord, that we would leave what's coming next week and what happened last week at the door, Lord, or at the altar here, that we focus upon the word, that and we would just listen to it to be read this morning, and we would absorb that. And again, Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done, and we just ask you to bless this service. In Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing one more song before we get to the preaching. Number 407, Because He Lives. 407.
Try to get situated here a little bit. This was one of my dad's, probably his favorite hymn, so we'll try to do it here.
My soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Brother Gary, and Brother Ken, and Sister Nancy. Good morning.
I was going to tell somebody the other day that I was going to label the front two pews. I think I cut it on. Did I not? No. I said I was going to label the front two sections the, splash sessions, like when you go to the
SeaWorld and all that mess, but it looked like somebody done figured it out and they done slipped to the other sides. No, it is good to see you today. Thankful that you made the effort to come out. And I'll be honest with you, I just got out this morning before we came as you turned to the book of Mark chapter 3. And the parking lot just looked good. I mean, it is just a beautiful sight. I, as a pastor, I love it. I know the deacons love it. But more importantly, I believe it brings joy to our Heavenly Father when we know that He knows that we have gathered in His Son's name to glorify His Son. Amen? And that's what we've gathered here before. For no matter what the devil has in store, no matter what our minds might have brought us here, God has brought us here to make much of His Son. And I pray today that we can do that. Again, as you're turning to the book of Mark chapter 3, I want to tell you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you let Him today, He'll do even greater things. Those of you that's on Facebook in the parking lot, it is a privilege to have you with us this morning, and we pray that you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if we don't have the Spirit, we're not worshiping Him. And so today we are worshiping Him in truth and in spirit, or that's our desire. Also, as you turn to Mark chapter 3, I want to remind you that the altar is always open. You don't have to be invited by me. If you just feel the need to fall on the altar, you do it. And you might be the one that breaks something loose around here in your obedience by doing what God tells you to do. It may bring liberty to others to be able to do that. Before we go any further this morning, do we have any words of praise or any word of testimony today that someone would like to render to our Heavenly Father? Amen, amen. It's good to be back in Sunday school. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning as you're turning to Mark chapter 3. God put this sermon on my heart about a month ago, but He really started it kind of bringing it together this week. And the message is great. I know the message is great. What I'm concerned about is my ability to present it. And so I just ask you to pray for me this morning. And so I'm going to ask you to stand in God's Word. And if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Deadly Divisions or Divine Unity. Deadly Divisions or Divine Unity. Look there in Mark chapter 3, verse 19. Beginning in 19b, where it says, "And they went into a house, and the multitude cometh together, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, that his is Jesus, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself. And when the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and the prince of the devils cast out devils. By the prince of devils casteth he, Jesus, out devils. And Jesus called them unto him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wheresoever they shall speak blasphemy. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because he said, because they said, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes, that he, Jesus, had an unclean spirit. Verse 31. There came then his brothers, his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat down, and they said unto him, behold thy mother and thy brother, without seek for thee. And Jesus answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brother? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold my mother and my brother. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You may be seated. Deadly division or divine unity. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, Lord, that we come into your presence. And even before we've sang or met in here, it's been a privilege to already sense your presence on this place, to be with brothers and sisters. And God, as Brother Frank did, I confess to you my sins. I confess to you my inadequacies. I confess to you all of my failures. And Lord, I just pray right now that in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you teach us what we need to be taught. You move us in the manner that we need to be moved. And Lord, whether it be salvation, rededication, church membership, or open repentance, Lord, let us today be willing to do as you ask. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you look over in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 9 through 50, you'll read a longer account of what has happened here. But I just kind of want to catch you up to where we're at, because we're mainly only going to focus on about three verses of scriptures there from verses 23 through 26. And maybe tonight we'll go into the rest of it and break it down, but I don't like to pull verses out of nowhere and just build a sermon around them. So before we go into sermon, I want you to understand the whole context of what's going on here. If you look in Mark, and we begin in Mark chapter 5 in verses 1 through 5, we see that Jesus enters into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, on the holy day, and there he heals a man that has a withered or a paralyzed hand. But in that place, at the same time, there were Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, you know, the religious, quote-unquote, religious crowd, those that were going to bust hell wide open, but they were faithful in their religious actions. They were kept up with the traditions of their fathers, but they had no relationship with the Heavenly Father because they rejected Jesus Christ, God incarnate. And so we see that after Jesus does this, the crowds gather around him. If you look there in Mark chapter 6 through Mark chapter 3, verses 6 through 12, you'll see that Jesus kindly goes about his ministry. He goes from Jerusalem to Judea to Iconium, I think it is. Many places that's there. He even gets out in a boat and begins to teach there and all that. And it says in verse 8 that while he traveled, he ministered to people and he healed people. And guess what happens? The crowds kept getting bigger. People kept following. They kept coming after him. And then when we get to verse 13, we see that Jesus goes apart by himself. He goes up on the mountaintop, and what he does up there, it's amazing how God just teaches you things and grows. We knew that ordination has been a part of the church, ordaining deacons and ordaining pastors, has been a part of the church from the first church. But what you'll read there is that at that time, Jesus ordained the apostles, meaning that He called them and He equipped them to go out and to preach the gospel. And then we move down into the passage where we're at today. And basically kind of what's happening here is, while we do know that Jesus was a Nazarene, you remember we understand that Jesus was a Nazarene, but if you look in Luke chapter 4 verses 28 and 29, Nazareth rejected Jesus. They didn't want to have anything to do with Him. They tried to kill Him, and He slipped away. And so what we see is, during the ministry of Christ, the place where His camp base, you might say, became Capernaum. And many people believe that this is where this situation is happening. Like over in Mark chapter 2 verse 1, you remember it says, "And again He came into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that He," meaning Jesus, "was in the house, and that's where they tore off the roof and let down the quadriplegic. His four friends let him down, and he was healed." And remember it says there were so many people there that you couldn't even push up in there. And so basically, and then you read all through, you read in John 2:12, Jesus with His apostles, His brothers and His mother, they stayed in Capernaum. Then when John the Baptist was arrested, which as a human, it affected Jesus, where did He go to deal with it? He went back to Capernaum, and then He did great signs and wonders in Capernaum. And then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 22, Capernaum and Nazareth are paralleled at how great works God, Christ Jesus, could do in Capernaum, but in His hometown He couldn't do the same thing. So basically, I want you to understand this, is because when we pick up there in verse 19, and it says, "And the multitude were together again, so that they could not so as much eat." And what was happening there in verse 21, and it says, "And when His friends heard of it," that word "friends," if you look up the translation, what it means is kinsmen. It means family. And we know this, that His family was there, because remember at the end, we read it. It says that the people He was teaching the parables to said, "Hey, your mama and your brothers are looking for you." You remember that? But look what happened. It says that His kinsmen come out there, as there was this hustle and bustle going on. And instead of saying, "Yes, this is Jesus, this is the Christ," his own kinsmen, what did they say? They said, "For He is beside Himself." You know what other translations say? "He does not have any sense. He's lost His ever-loving mind." How would you feel if the whole world around you was seeking for your power in their life? All these people are following you, and yet your own people stepped outside the house, because remember, they were trying to eat. They were going to have a meal with family and friends. And the very ones that were His family says, "He's lost His mind." You see, it wasn't a great family reunion here. Dangerous divisions or divine unity? Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican president and the main power behind the freeing of the slaves, and probably in my book, one of the greatest presidents that we've had. Before becoming president, he gave a speech in 1858 in the Illinois State Convention as he was running to be a senator. And the speech that he was going to give, many of his friends and fellow politicians that were on his side told Lincoln that it was a morally courageous speech, but that it was politically incorrect. Abraham Lincoln stood up and began to cry out against the sin of slavery. And this is what he said: "In my opinion, it will not cease until a crisis shall have been reached and passed. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe the government cannot endure permanently half slavery and half free. I do not expect the Union to dissolve, I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will be either one thing or the other. And praise God, while he didn't win that specific Senate seat, our great sovereign God placed him in the most important seat in the presidency. He was asked about these other people whining. Why are they whining against him and all that? And Abraham Lincoln basically said, don't whine to me, whine to the Heavenly Father. I'm worried about our country. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. The last election, percentage-wise, Biden had 51%, Trump had 47%, and a third party had 1-point-something percent, basically 2%. Boy, that's close. I mean, that is almost 50-50. I sat down and I began to think about things that we're divided over in America. We're divided over politics. We're divided over border security. We're divided over voter laws. We're divided over gender and sexuality. We're divided over racial equality. We're divided over Green New Deals and environmental issues. We're divided over health care. We're divided over energy. We're divided in natural gas, coal, solar, windmills. Divided over government assistance, big government versus small government, states' rights versus national rights. I'm deeply concerned for our country. But you know, it's not the things that we are divided over that's killing our country. Our nation has always been divided about something. It may not be as fierce as it is now. But I want you to look at something. Jesus confronts the issue of blasphemy. And blasphemy, remember, he says, if you blaspheme me, then you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, then there is no forgiveness for it. In that passage over in Matthew I told you about, Matthew chapter 12, verses 30 through 32, Jesus says this, anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather me scatters. Because of this, I tell you, people will be forgiven every sin and every blasphemy, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Whosoever speaks against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the one to come. The blasphemy that he's speaking against the Holy Spirit here is the unpardonable sin. But let me tell you this, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not just rejection from God due to a single action. Blasphemy is and being condemned is when we continually reject God. We reject the person of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, as we are drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what was happening here. These men recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, but yet they denied Him as the Messiah. They denied the works that He did. They denied the words that He did. And I'm going to tell you this, praise God, it is not division that's killing America, but is it a spirit of blasphemy across our country right now? Because at least in America, we used to be mindful of the Word of God. We used to have the Ten Commandments put up. We used to have all these things that talked about it. But we've got to the point that we reject the Word of God. We don't want to let the Holy Spirit flow or move. That's why you feel more of a dark spirit falling on America now. Not that the Spirit of God is there. And let me tell you this, it's not only over our nation, it's not only in our government, but it's in the house of God in America right now. The book of Revelation chapter 9 talks about the synagogue of Satan. We're told by Paul writing Timothy, he says one day will come that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And folks, we are living in those days. We're living in those days. You see, the Holy Spirit was told in John 15, when the Comforter comes, He will testify of Me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's for a benefit that the Holy Spirit comes, because He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. You know what? You can make fun of the name of Jesus all you want to in America. You can fly any flag just about you want to in America. But when it comes to Jesus and the truth of the Bible, that's intolerance. You know what that is? That's rejection of the Holy Spirit and the truth that is in His Word. You know, man, I wanted to get up here today and I could, like those Pharisees, I could talk about those Democrats and Republicans. You remember what Jesus said? He says, God says, either you're for me or you're against me. Both parties at some time or another try to say that they're God's party, ain't they? Hey, praise God, God stands alone. He ain't a Democrat, He ain't a Republican. He don't give a rip about them. What He cares about is doing what is right in His eyes. The SBC, all these things, we've allowed them to become social justice and political issues instead of focusing on the things of God. I mean, I could get up here and I could preach about homosexuality. I could preach about abortion. I could preach about the mistreatment of the poor, ungodliness here and abroad, and I'd get all kind of amens. But you know what? I think there's more people. Here's my preaching today that battle the sin of heterosexual sinfulness. We've made certain ones our whipping boys. We use them to make ourselves feel better. We say, your sin's disgusting. My sin's acceptable. Because I'm a Southern Baptist. Let me tell you this. We can look all over our nation. And would you agree with me it's going to pot? It is. But Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. And if the law of salt loses its savor, how can it be salty? All it's good for is to be trodden underfoot. You remember I said you can be anything you want except a Christian. And if you try to stand up, I'm going to tell you this. The most brave thing that any man or woman can be right now is a Christian. Because you know what? In America, Christianity is being trampled under the feet. Why? Because we've lost our saltiness. We've started playing church. We've got the attitude that if we give an hour a week, pay our dues, the pastor and deacon should feel privileged, and even God should feel privileged if I show up that much. No amens there. Wonder why not? Bible says, again, I'm concerned for our country. You ask the deacons, I'm asking them to do something right now that I'm going to do because voting ain't working. But the only hope for America to come back is for the churches and the people in the pews to get right with God. And you know what? This message is to us today, Thomas Village. It's for the preacher. It's for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he should not be ashamed to glorify God in having His name. For the time has come for judgment to begin in God's household. What is judgment? Judgment means to determine whether what we are doing is right or wrong in God's eyes. And if what we're doing is right, then we need to continue on that way. If what we're doing is wrong, we need to repent of it, turn from it, and start doing what is right. I know that Paul was speaking about the Lord's Supper specifically over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, where he says, so a man should examine themselves in this way. He should eat the bread and drink from the cup. But really and truly, and he goes on to say, for it's better for us to examine ourselves, to judge ourselves, than to wait and have God judge us. And folks, I'm telling you today, As the body of Christ here in Duffield, Virginia, we will be judged by God for the way that we have served Him. I will give an answer for what I've preached behind this pulpit. Notice in verses 23 through 20, Jesus called them and He said in the parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? Because if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand, but hath an end. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is hope for America. I believe that with my heart. I believe that God wants to do not a revival. That's got to come first. We have to be revived, but then He will bring an awakening across America and maybe even across the globe. But I want to tell you something. I'm not saying that we as a church are deathly divided, but I want you to think about this. Because of the season of COVID-19, we don't have the relationships with one another that we had before. Would you amen that? Can you tell me you feel as close to your church family now as you did before COVID-19? You don't. You don't. We have been physically separated, and so we have been emotionally separated, and we have become spiritually separated. And you know what? That tells us if we're not bonded close as we were together, then guess what? We're probably as a church not close to God as we were before. We're stronger together, right? Where two or more are gathered in unity. So, again, I just pray today that we make the decision. We can't make America non-divided by ourselves. We can't do it. It's impossible. But you know what? If we as a church get committed that we are going to be a united body of Christ, focused on Christ Jesus, living for Him. And again, I do believe our best days are yet ahead of us. But COVID and the season of it was a tool of the devil trying to stunt all Christianity in America. But we have to say, no, not in our house. And praise God today, I believe just five simple things. First thing are two things that we cannot be divided because of. Number one, we cannot be divided because of consistent and casual sin. The people outside the church that are lost, they're sinners. That's what they do. You know what? We're not perfect and we're going to fail inside the church and we're going to have sins that we have to confess for every day. But we cannot have our own pet, personal kind of sins that we hold on to, that if somebody else had it in their life, God will judge them, but He knows me and me and Jesus got a good thing going, so I'm going to hold on to this sin and I'll run down other people's sins. I'll talk about them like a dog and like they ain't even worthy of God's love when I got my own sin. You see, it's the sin in the church house that's causing America to fall. Sexual immorality. Again, I could beat on homosexuality, but I believe there's more people under the sound of my voice that may be addicted to pornography than they are having a homosexual affair. I believe there's men in here and women in here this morning that battle pornography. 55%, according to a Pew Research poll, of professing Christian men regularly watch pornography. You don't have to go get your brown magazines no more. You don't have to have the scrambler on HBO undone. All you got to do is flip your phone out and you can be at your desk at work. You can be in your car. You can be sitting in the living room with your family and be feeding on that addiction to pornography. I think there's probably more people in the sound of my voice living in a cohabitation outside of marriage than they are having a homosexual affair. 59% between 2013 and 2017 were living in a shacking up. Ain't that the best word for it, shacking up? Listen at this. 56% of the teenagers today believe that recycling is immoral, while only 23% thought that pornography was immoral. Let's get off that, because I know none of y'all do that. What about anger, resentment, and hurt? See, the Bible says if we don't forgive our brethren, if we don't forgive others, then we can't be forgiven ourselves. Huh? But we've got hurt. We've been hurt. We won't even pray that God help us forgive, because we've done made our mind up that we ain't going to forgive. Forgiveness is hard. You have to do it lots of times, multiple times a day, because of the same situation. But remember, we're good Southern Baptists in the Bible Belt, and me and Jesus got a good thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. What are we told in Solomon 2:15? Catch us the little foxes, for it's the little foxes that ruin the vineyard. It's what we would call the small varmints, not the big ones. You know, I'm not shooting up heroin. I'm not cheating on my wife. What's some other ones? What's some other little foxes? Gossiping, mouth runners, backbiters, pot stirrers, people who won't do the job in the church, but when somebody else steps up to do it, they'll run them down when they mess up on it. Look at them. Look how sorry they are. Praise God. Thank you for trying. I'm going to tell you what, some of you checked out during COVID. And you can say me and the deacons, we did. But me and others, we tried to keep it going. We did. We weren't perfect. What about them dirty jokes you tell? Different things like that. Pride. I think that's something, as a Southern boy, I have a problem with. You dang right I'm Southern and proud of it. We cannot be divided over our casual and consistent sins. But you know what else? We cannot be divided over our complacencies and the comforts of life. Over the last year or so, we may not have been able to do everything we wanted to do, but little by little in that year and a half, everything we did became just about us and ours. You get what I'm saying? You didn't really have to worry about nobody else. Just the ones that were under your house, you know. That's the ones you had to worry about. And so we get comfortable with that. We enjoy taking care of ourselves. We enjoy pampering ourselves. We enjoy not having to be responsible to nobody else and all this other stuff. And what we do is we become complacent in our relationship with our Lord. Oh, yes, we're saved. But we've got into a habit of just doing what we want. Living for me instead of living for thee. I ain't going to read the whole passage, but over in the book of Luke chapter 14, you remember the master, he invited people to come to the great banquet feast. And he invited three, he sent his servants out to invite three of them. And one of them, he says, come, the master's got everything prepared, won't you come? And what did the man say? I bought some land and I got to go check it out. My land's more important than the master. Then he went to another and he says, hey, the master, everything's ready. Why don't you come? Why don't you be with us? I've bought 5 yoke of ox. Got me some new farming equipment. And farming's more important than the master's banquet. Then there's the other one. He said, come on, man, the Lord, the master's inviting you. Why don't you come? He says, you know what, buddy? I got married. And my family's more important than the master and his banquet. We've become complacent in our service to Him. When we got saved, what we said was, I'm giving up my life of sin that's going to end up with me in an eternal hell. and I'm receiving your life of salvation and relationship with God, and I'm going to live that. That's what Jesus said. When he says, take up your cross daily, a cross was an embarrassment at that time. And they were heavy. They weren't easy to tote. And you know what? Nobody in their right mind would have chose to tote one. But what does he say to us today? Take up your cross and bear the burden. What burden? The burden of serving me. The burden of living for me. So see, deadly division. Divine unity. So there, we can't be divided in our casual and consistent sin. We cannot get caught up in our complacency and the comforts of life, but we must be united in Christ and Christ alone. When I came to you, brethren, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or with wisdom, for I did not think it was good idea to know anything among you except Jesus and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know something else that Abraham Lincoln said during the Civil War? Somebody asked him and said, do you really think that God's on your side? And he says, it's not my concern whether God's on my side. My greatest concern is whether or not I'm on His side. Praise God. What he said was all that mattered is being with God and focusing on God. See, when we make Jesus Lord of our life, what we're saying is that He is the most important thing about us in this life. That's what we saw with Abraham last week and Isaac. He loved that boy. He knew the promise was in that boy. But he was willing to lay his relationship with his son aside, familial, whatever your relationship it is, and say, I'm going to make it most about Jesus, about the Heavenly Father. You know what? As a Christian, you're not a member of a country club. You are a servant in the kingdom of God. But not only a servant, he says you are an heir. You are a prince or a princess to the Most High God. So we ought to live it faithfully and we ought to live it proudly every day of our life. Not perfectly. Notice I didn't throw that P in there. He had to do the perfect part. But praise God. You know what else? We're not a political party or a group. But we are the body of Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us have come together. And you know not, being a Christian or professing to be a Christian, we're not about social justice. We're about grace, mercy, and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying all these other things are bad, but we can let them become the point instead of Christ Jesus being the uttermost in our life. We must be united not only in Christ alone, but we must be united as His church. And I know that the Bible talks about the church universal, but if you read the epistles, they were wrote specifically to a local church, to the church of Philippi, to the church of Galatia, whatever them. You know all them words that's there, okay? Philippi, Ephesians, all them. They were wrote to specific churches. Listen to what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and others build on it, but each one must be careful how they build, for no one can lay any other foundation that has been laid. That foundation is Christ Jesus. Close your eyes just a second. You ever seen a footer laid? You dig it out, and what you do is you take some rebar, you lay the rebar down in the bottom of it, you set it up on chairs, and then you take some little concrete and mix, and you pour that out there. And you know what that is? That's the foundation. And then what happens? After a day or two, that foundation, they take block, and they'll start with one block, put down another block and put down another block. As I was studying this week, I couldn't help. And I got up, you know, Jesus Christ is the foundation of Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I got something on my heart, and I went out there and I looked at the plaque back there. And I think the church was established in 1983 and 1984. Am I correct? And I looked at names such as Garland Stokes, Bill DeBoard, Daryl Fletcher, Miss Moselle, the Carters, the Swansons, and others. And you know what that was? When God decided He was going to build a church here in Duffield, He laid the foundation of Jesus Christ, and every one of those names was a block. And then you know what? Other people started joining. And you know what happened then? He went up another layer. And you know what He has right now? He has His building. We are His body. And you know what? We're the next level, and we've got to make sure that there's going to be others that's built on top of us. You see, again, I believe 100% that our best days are yet ahead of us, and that as the body of Jesus Christ here on this four lane in Duffield, Virginia, He has touched us, called us, and ordained us to touch Duffield, Scott County, Wise, Lee County, but He ain't going to stop there because we're reaching outside the state of Virginia. We're in Arizona. We're in Pennsylvania. We're in Georgia. We're in Florida. Praise God, He's using what He's built, but we've got to say that I'm going to be a part of that church. I recognize that it is a privilege to be a part of that church, that He has called me there. I know it's got easy to sit at the house and watch those things. But there's some of you watching by Facebook right now. Others may be even being here. You were faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. When is it going to start being faithful like that again? I know I ain't your favorite person right now, but I'm preaching truth. I am. You see, I'm worried about America. But he's going to heal America through local churches like Thomas Village Baptist Church. We cannot be divided in our casual sins. We cannot be divided in our complacency and comfort. We must be united in Christ Jesus. We must be united as His church. And we must be united in our individual callings and our gifts. I'm not going to read the passage, but if you look over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul likens the church to a literal human body. And he says, some of you is an ear, some of you is an eye, others of you is a nose and a nose hole, others of you are a mouth, others are hands, others are feet. And he says, I've brought you all together for a purpose. And what's that purpose? So that the body may be complete. So that there's nothing lacking within the body. And he says, and think about it, a hand has an ability that a foot can't do. If I tried to hang onto a tree with my feet, you'd have to carry me to the doctor. If I tried to walk on my hands, you'd have to carry me to a doctor. Why? Because they don't perform the same purpose. But you know what? If I'm lost one of them, I'm not whole. I can't function the way that I was. And that's the way Thomas Village is. You see, what one of my worries is right now? We had a lot of good servants of God before COVID. They were working. They recognized I'm an ear. I'm a hand. I'm an eye. And I got to be there. Why? Because God's put me there. But if people are already saying that maybe church attendance isn't that important, I'm concerned that people are thinking, and it's a lie of the devil, that maybe they don't need me to work anymore. Listen, Ephesians 4:11 through 14, I am going to read this one. And He, meaning Jesus, personally gave to you some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. That's not all the gifts. There's many more. But he goes on to say, the purpose of our gifts, listen, for training of the saints in the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, to train new believers, to grow the church, until we have reached unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing in a mature man, with a stature measured by Christ's faithfulness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves, blown every which way by human cunning and cleverness. Did you hear the three reasons why he said, I give you these spiritual gifts? Because I want you to be a part of the church and benefit the church. I give you these gifts because you're going to help other believers grow. But I'm also giving you these gifts because in using them, you will become a mature Christian by the use of your gifts. You see, the gifts that he give us aren't only for the church, but they're to hold us accountable to the church and to him. You see, I'm worried about America. I truthfully am. And like Abraham Lincoln said, it's either going to be one way. The whole spirit of Antichrist is just going to take over. And that's what we see when people are saying, let's do away with police and all that stuff. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Or either we're going to come back to the Lord, or here's one of mine. We're going to tear apart and some other nation's going to come in and just take over. I'm just being honest with you today. This is my heart. And those of you that were here Wednesday night, you could tell that God was already working on me about this sermon. As our piano player and our song director come. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand, but have an end. I know that if there's any hope for America, it's that Jesus is going to send a powerful revival across America. And why can't it begin right here? Why shouldn't it start right here? I mean, there's a lot of people that move this place to restart their lives. So why wouldn't he? If we're willing, he's powerful enough to do it. Here's the invitation today. There's those of you that are in here today that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. You're concerned about your country. You recognize that we have to be united in Christ. We have to be united in our church. And we have to be united in our calling. As your pastor, I'm asking you, maybe where you're at or maybe come to the altar. I want you to pray that our best days become a reality and that other people get that passion for unity in our church. There's others of you in here that for some other reason or not, you've got to the point to where serving Jesus has become second in your life. You feel like you've done your duty if you come to church one time a week and you put whatever you put in the offering plate. Because of all that, you're owed something. I'm going to tell you something. That's a sinful attitude. Because it's a privilege to be a part of this church. It's a privilege to be a part of Christ's church. And there's responsibility as a member of Thomas Village. I'm going to ask you today to come and repent and tell God to give you a hunger back for Christ. A hunger back to be with His people. A hunger back to serve alongside of His people to see our best days yet to come. Then there's another group here. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love singing about Him. You love serving Him. And you know what? You love Thomas Village Baptist Church. You love the people and you believe that there's better days ahead, but for some reason, you've not become a member yet. Well, today's that day. You see how COVID's tried to beat us down and take us out, and you know the battle's not going to get any more easier. And God's got a special place for you and your family here. Yes, maybe you've been hurt elsewhere, but giving up isn't the chance to do. It's giving it up to Him and committing to it. Oh, if you're lost today, yes, come and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no greater thing that you can ever do than that, but this is a church from a pastor to his flock. And that our best days, I believe, are yet ahead of us. But we've got to commit to being united in Christ, united as His church, and united in our callings. So whatever your need might be, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I let You have Your will and Your way. Did my best to present Your message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Won't you stand today? The altar's open. Whatever your need is. People's coming. Will you come? Will you come and pray for your other church members that may be broken down and discouraged? Will you pray that God give you back the passion, and that as those ones that laid the first foundation, that you'll be just as strong as they were and continue to build? Will you come and become a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church so that the spots that are missing, maybe a finger or an eye or a Sunday school teacher, worker in Awana, choir member, it'll be filled. But whatever your need is, Jesus can handle it. Sister, thank you for your attentiveness. Do we have any words of praise or testimony before we go? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We'll have to put a governor on your car for a little bit. You've been driving. Anyone else today? Word of praise, word of testimony. If you ever need to talk to me, give me a call, give me a text. I'll usually get back to you within an hour or so. Enjoy having meetings. Past couple of weeks, I've had people come and sit with me for just a few hours and just had good times talking with them and being with them and getting out and about doing some more visiting now. Trying to figure it out, because some people don't want you there. Some people do. You just have to see if they run you off or not when you get there. Any other thing before we go? Brother Keith Roach, you mind coming and close us out in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for this day, dear God, that You've given us to be in Your house. We just thank You, dear God, for pastor that'll stand and preach Your word. Help us to accept it, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Lord, I just pray for each and every one that's here today. I pray for all the sick, all the sin sick. Lord, I just pray as we leave this place today that You give us traveling mercies back to our homes. Bring us back at the next appointed hour, for it's these things we ask in Your precious holy name. Amen.